Good morning, saints, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to see you and very good to be here with you this morning to worship the Lord our God. Before we begin our service of worship, we do have just a couple of announcements to make. Today is the last day for all Sunday school classes, and we are going to recess for the summer. And also, the Wednesday night Bible study is on recess for the summer. Both of those things will resume, Lord willing, in the fall. With regard to prayer, we ask that you would please keep in your prayers today and throughout the week the various prayer requests that you see on the insert in your bulletins. This week, our family of the week is Monica Maitiz, so please pray for her. And also, please continue your prayers for Pat Huggins. Most of you have seen the updates that Jim has sent out to us this week, and she is getting much better. We're thankful for her improvement. But please continue your prayers for her. And I think, friends of God, that concludes our announcements for today. We have come together this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to worship the only true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we listen to the prelude now, let us prepare our hearts to come before Him and worship. Saints of Providence Presbyterian Church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand as we hear God's call to worship this morning from Psalm 98. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Let's sing together at this time the doxology. We praise you, O Lord our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for you have done marvelous things. Your right hand and your holy arm have worked salvation for us. Father, we thank you that you have saved us in Jesus Christ and through his redemptive work, and that by your Holy Spirit you have united us to the risen and ascended Christ, who leads us in worship in your heavenly sanctuary. Father, as we have gathered together this morning in his name to worship you in spirit and in truth, we ask that you would be pleased with our worship, that you would receive our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving that we present to you through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. For we ask this in his holy name. Amen. Let's sing together now Psalm 104a, and we will sing stanzas 1 through 5 of Psalm 104a.
Thank you.
be seated. Please turn with me in your hymnals to Roman numeral 16 for the reading of God's holy law. Roman numeral 16, where you will find the Ten Commandments. Every Sunday we read the Ten Commandments together, and one of the reasons we do so is so that we might memorize them. It may seem like a lot to memorize because these are pretty long, but they can all be summed up in 2 points. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that the law of God can be summarized under these 2 headings, to love God and love your neighbor, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And let's bear that in mind as we read together in unison the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the 3rd and the 4th generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us now make confession of our sins to the Lord our God as we pray in unison the prayer of confession that you will find on the insert in your bulletins. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we have broken your holy laws by our deeds and words and by the sinful affections of our hearts. We confess before you our disobedience and ingratitude, our pride and willfulness, and all our failures and shortcomings toward you and our neighbor. Have mercy upon us, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. And of your great goodness, grant that we may hereafter serve and please you in newness of life, in union with Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Well, beloved, our God is gracious and merciful, and he forgives us of our sins for the sake of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. And in the Holy Scriptures, God grants us certainty that our sins have been forgiven, as we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. To all those who have sincerely confessed their sins to the Lord our God and put their faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, I declare in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven. Amen. Let's sing together now Psalm 103a, Bless the Lord, my soul, Psalm 103a, and please stand once again as we sing. Bibles through the book of Revelation, chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22, And today we are going to conclude our series on the book of Revelation by looking at the last part of chapter 22, which begins in verse 6. So Revelation 22 and beginning in verse 6. Before we hear God's word, let's pray together once again. We bless you, O Lord, our God, and give thanks to you for all of the benefits that you have given to us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have forgiven us of our sins, that you heal our diseases, that you crown us with life everlasting, that you give us to drink from the river of life which flows from your throne. Father, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures which reveal to us Christ, your eternal, only begotten Son, our Savior, who died for our sins, who was buried, and who on the third day was raised from the dead, and who was exalted to your right hand in heaven, and is enthroned there now and reigns as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray, Father, as we hear the Scriptures read and proclaimed this morning, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, and that we would worship him as he deserves to be worshiped. For we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Revelation 22 and beginning in verse 6. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us hear the word of God. And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angel to show his servants what must soon take place. And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said to me, 'You must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers, the prophets, and with those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is near. But the evildoer still do evil, and the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come,' and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen." This is the word of God. The book of Revelation is about a hidden reality. It's about a reality that is presently veiled, as if covered by a curtain, and therefore hidden from sight. At the present, the reality is unseen, but it is a reality nonetheless. The book of Revelation unveils that reality so that we can see it. That's what the word revelation means. It means unveiling. Now, there is a story in the Old Testament that offers a great illustration of this idea of a present hidden reality being unveiled. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. One time, the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army to seize the prophet Elisha. And the army came by night and surrounded the city where Elisha was staying. And early the next morning, Elisha's servant went out and he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. And he said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elisha said to his servants, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open the eyes, his eyes, that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. You see, there was a hidden reality which the servant of Elisha could not see until the Lord opened his eyes. The reality was that God had sent an army of angels to protect the prophet, but that reality was veiled, as if covered by a curtain, and therefore it was hidden from sight. But when Elisha prayed for his servant, the Lord pulled back the curtain. He unveiled the hidden reality, and the servant saw the chariots of fire all around the prophet. Now, what God did for Elisha's servant, he also did for the apostle John when John was on the island of Patmos. God unveiled a hidden reality, and that unveiling or revelation is what is recorded in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelation. The Apocalypse is a revelation of Jesus Christ. Those are the opening words of the book, right? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. So what's this book about? It's about a revelation and unveiling of Jesus Christ. It reveals, it unveils a present hidden reality about Christ. And what is that reality? The reality is that Christ is the King of glory, enthroned and reigning at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And that is a reality that is presently veiled and therefore unseen. And it's veiled in the most remarkable way. It is not simply veiled in the sense that Christ is in heaven and we are on earth, and since we cannot visibly see him sitting at the right hand of God, his enthronement and reign are hidden from us. That's true, but that's not the only sense or the most notable sense in which his reign is veiled. It is veiled in a much more profound way. It is veiled behind his suffering. It is veiled behind his death. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. It is interesting that the one who received this revelation, this unveiling of Christ, this unveiling of the hidden reality about Christ, is the Apostle John. John is the only one of the 12 apostles who was present at the crucifixion of Jesus. You may remember that from the cross, Jesus spoke to John and told him to behold his mother, referring to the Virgin Mary. John was there, standing at the foot of the cross when Jesus was crucified. And what did John see on that day? When John looked at Jesus on the cross, what did he see? Well, he saw a helpless man suffering and dying a terrible death at the hands of cruel and wicked men. That's what John saw when he stood at the foot of the cross. Now, when John was on the island of Patmos, God took him back to that day. God took him back to that event. God took him back to the cross. And once again, John found himself looking at Christ hanging on the cross, suffering and dying. But this time, God pulled back the curtain. What John didn't know the first time he stood at the cross was that there was a hidden reality, a veiled reality, a reality that was hidden because it was veiled by the suffering and death of Jesus. But this time, when John stood at the foot of the cross, God opened his eyes just like he opened the eyes of Elisha's servant. And John saw the unseen reality of what really happened on that day. When God removed the veil, John did not see a lifeless corpse hanging on a tree. He saw the King of Glory enthroned at the right hand of God. The hidden reality is that the cross of Jesus is his throne. And the event of him being lifted up on the cross was his enthronement. Behind the veil of the crown of thorns is the crown of glory. And the one who wears it is the King of Glory. The unveiling of Christ enabled John to see the reality that was hidden from him and from everyone else. And it was hidden because it was veiled by the suffering and dying of Christ. In the same way that his humanity veiled his divinity, his suffering veiled his victory. The unveiling reveals that this slain lamb is the lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered. At the moment of his death, Christ trampled down death by death. He destroyed the one who had the power of death. The hidden reality behind the corpse wearing the crown of thorns is that this is the King of Glory prevailing over the gates of hell. The unveiling, the revelation that God gave John enabled him to see what really happened on the cross. And what was it that really happened? Well, Psalm 24 was fulfilled. The King of Glory, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle, arrived at the gates. He arrived at the gates of Hades. And having trampled down death by death, he was there to give life to those who were in the tombs. Now that's the reality of what happened on Good Friday. Christ established his kingdom and began to reign as the king of that kingdom, the King of Glory. But that reality was hidden. It was hidden because it was veiled behind his suffering and his death. And to this day, the reign of Christ is a hidden reality. It is hidden because it is veiled from sight. And it's veiled not simply because Christ is in heaven and we are on earth and we don't see him. It's veiled by suffering and death, just as it was at the foot of the cross. The present reign of Christ is veiled by the suffering and death of the saints. The book of Revelation pulls back the curtain so that when we see the saints suffering and dying for the testimony of Jesus, we see the hidden reality, the reality that is hidden by their suffering and death. And what is that reality? Well, it's that Christ is reigning as the King of Glory at the right hand of God, and that those who die with him are also reigning with him. The reality is that the martyrs are the victors. The martyrs are the victors. The reality is that they conquer Satan by their death in union with Christ. Now, this is stated very clearly in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. The martyrs, that verse says, have conquered Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. They have conquered. In other words, by dying with Christ, they conquer. By dying with Christ, they reign with him. By dying with Christ, they are enthroned with him. Remember, his throne is his cross. And if we wish to reign with Christ, then we must join him on his throne. And wasn't that the message of Jesus himself? If we wish to be his disciples, we must take up our cross and follow him. Jesus said in Matthew 16, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Now that's the message of the book of Revelation in a nutshell. The revelation or unveiling of the hidden reality about Christ that John received on the island of Patmos can be summed up in four words. His throne is his cross. Christ reigns from the cross. And to reign with him, we must join him on the cross. That's how we conquer. That's how he conquered, and that's how we conquered. Remember back in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, Jesus said over and over again that the promise of salvation is for those who conquer. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. To the one who conquers, he will not be hurt by the second death. The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. That throne is his cross, and that's how he conquered, and that's how we conquer. There is no other way to overcome death and Hades. There is no other way to overcome the devil. Now, that's the message of the book of Revelation. Now, I said earlier that when God gave John this vision, this revelation, God took him back to the foot of the cross so that John could see the hidden reality behind the crucifixion. And by giving us the book of Revelation, God does the same thing to us. He takes us to the foot of the cross, and that's where he leaves us. That's where he wants us to stay, so that we may behold the triumphant King of Glory enthroned on the cross and invite us to join him there. And that's where we are today. And that's where the church will remain until the end of the world, when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. And when he returns, he will permanently, completely remove the veil once and for all, and all will see the hidden reality that was veiled behind his suffering and dying on the cross and our suffering and dying in union with him. The return of our Lord Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation. Remember, the word revelation means unveiling. The return of Christ is the ultimate unveiling. The veil will be permanently, completely removed when Christ returns, and the whole world will see the hidden reality. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen." Have you ever wondered why it refers here to those who pierced him, those who pierced Christ? It connects the return of Christ at the end of the world to the event of his crucifixion when he was pierced. Those two things are connected because his return will bring the whole world back to the foot of the cross, and everyone will stand at the foot of the cross and see the hidden reality, because the veil will be forever removed. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and they will see that his throne is his cross. His cross is his throne. They will see the crown of glory behind the crown of thorns. They will see the King of Glory who trampled down death by death. And in the words of St. Paul, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, that's what will happen when our Lord Jesus Christ returns at the end of the age. The hidden reality of the reign of Christ, his present reign, it's a reality. It's hidden, but it is a reality nonetheless. The hidden reality of his reign and of those who take up their cross and follow him, they too are reigning with him. That hidden reality of his reign and of those who reign with him will be unveiled. Now, when will this happen? When will our Lord return? Well, Jesus said that no one knows the day or the hour. And he also said, "Behold, I am coming like a thief, unexpectedly. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on. We must, therefore, be ready for his return. Be ready always, at all times." But Jesus also stressed the imminence of his return. That is, the nearness of his return. And he repeatedly does so here in the very last part of the book of Revelation. Verse 7, behold, I am coming soon. And again, verse 20, surely I am coming soon. The time is at hand. The time is near. Now, this emphasis on the nearness of his coming calls us to watchfulness. And since we don't know when Christ will return, but that he could do so at any moment, we must be watchful and prepared always, be ready always. Jesus said in Mark chapter 13, but concerning the day or the hour, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Now that means be watchful, be ready. And the last part of the book of Revelation tells us what we must do to be ready for the return of Christ. We must come to Christ in repentance to receive the life-giving water that flows from his pierced side. Verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. Now, this is a call to repentance. It is a call to repentance to everyone who hears the message of this book. We watch and we prepare for the coming of Christ by standing before his cross in repentance. The book of Revelation takes us back to the cross, and it leaves us there because that's where we must go to drink of the water of life, which flows from the throne of Christ, which is his cross. Now, the book of Revelation ends with a cry for Christ to return. In verse 20, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, was such a common prayer in the ancient church that even non-Aramaic speaking Christians knew the original Aramaic form of the prayer, Maranatha. It's Aramaic for come, Lord Jesus. That was the prayer of the ancient church, and the church has been praying for the return of Christ since the very beginning. Every single Sunday, we pray for Christ to return when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And we say in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come. What we are praying for is that the kingdom which Christ established by his death would be unveiled, fully unveiled by his return. And that's what the consummation of the kingdom is. It is the ultimate. It is the final revelation. It's the ultimate unveiling of the kingdom of Christ, the reign of the King of Glory. And the whole book of Revelation is meant to stir our longing and prayers for the full realization, the full revelation, the manifestation of that kingdom. And so it fittingly ends on this note, come, Lord Jesus. The final prayer of the book, come, Lord Jesus, reminds us that Revelation was not meant to be a puzzle book that leaves us befuddled and mystified. It was not intended to be a riddle that needs to be solved. The book of Revelation is designed to remind us that our Lord Jesus Christ is coming soon, bringing his recompense with him to repay each one for what he has done. Verse 12. And it is designed to call us to watchfulness, faithfulness, perseverance, repentance, to overcome immorality, to patiently endure persecution, and not to lose heart when we suffer afflictions because Christ is coming soon. And that is how, in fact, we reign with him. We suffer and die with him. That's how we reign with him, because he reigns from the cross. His throne is his cross, and we must join him there. Revelation reminds us of our blessed hope, and it teaches us not to set our hopes on the world below, but on the eternal, the heavenly city to which we belong and which Christ has prepared for us. To him be all praise and glory, now and forevermore. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we give you immortal praise and thanks for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank you, O God, that Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you, Father, that he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah who has conquered, who has overcome death by death, who has trampled down the gates of Hades and has brought life to those in the tombs. We thank you, Father, for the revelation of your kingdom in Jesus Christ, the King of glory, through the gospel that is proclaimed to us. We thank you, Father, for giving us your Spirit and for opening our eyes that we may see Christ enthroned on the cross, enthroned at your right hand, and reigning as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Father, may we join him there. May we die with him, that we may live with him. Father, we pray that we would be faithful in the face of afflictions and persecutions, whatever trials and tribulations may come our way. We ask, O God, that you would remind us that our suffering is in union with Christ, that we suffer with him, that we may reign with him. We ask, Father, that you would remind us of his victory over death and Hades, so that we would not fear, that we would not lose hope and despair in the face of death. Remind us that Christ has trampled down death by his death. Father, we pray that you would remind us of our union with Jesus Christ by your Spirit, by which you are conforming us into his image and his death and resurrection. And Father, we pray that we would never lose sight of this. Lord, help us by faith to look beyond the veil, to see the unseen, to see the hidden reality of his victory through suffering, of our victory through suffering and union with him. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are suffering in this life and that you would bring hope and healing and comfort to them. We pray for those who've lost loved ones. We pray, Father, that as they stand at the graves of their loved ones, they may be able to see the victory of Christ over death and of our victory in him. Father, we pray in particular for the family and friends of those who died in the recent school shooting. We ask, dear God, that you would bring healing and comfort and hope to them by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for those who were injured, for their recovery and for their healing. We pray, Father, that you would bring healing to those who are grieving. Lord, speak peace to their hearts. Lord, turn them and turn all of us to Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would give them hope. Lord, we pray that you would fill their hearts with hope because Christ is risen from the dead. Father, we pray that you would be with those who are suffering from cancer. Lord, we ask that you would be with Arlene Rogers and Nancy Hoke and Shirley Griffith. We pray, Father, that you would bless them and be with them mightily. We pray also that you would be with those who are suffering physical infirmities. Lord, be with Pat Huggins and bring healing to her. Father, we pray for Eileen Vanderlee and for Dorothy and Scott Lowry, for Homer and Kay Johnson and Paul Witt. We pray, Father, that you would be with all those who are suffering, that you would bring relief and comfort and healing to them. Lord, be with Sue Spranger's mother, Joyce House. Be with Sue Spranger as she recovers. We pray for Hal Griswold. We pray for Jean Davies and for Cecilia Marino's daughter, Jennifer. Lord, we ask that you would be with Emerald Conter and the children in her womb and keep them healthy and safe. We pray, dear God, that you would be with Monica Maitiz and bless her and keep her. Lord, be with our missionaries who labor at home and abroad, and we pray for the spread of the gospel to every land. Father, we thank you for the victory of Christ. We thank you for the good news of the salvation, the victory that we have in him. And Father, we pray that that gospel would go forth around the world and that Christ would be preached clearly, boldly, and that by your Spirit you would draw all people to him. And Lord, we ask that you would bless our nation and the nations of the world, our civil rulers, grant them salvation and protection and wisdom to run this nation in a manner that is pleasing to you. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our worship now through our giving as our ushers come forward to receive the collection. Of God, let us profess our faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ by reciting in unison the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 851 at the back of the Trinity hymnal. Page 851, and please stand as we profess our faith. Christian, in whom do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's sing hymn 374, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, hymn 374. after the benediction, the elders have something they would like to say to the congregation, a very brief announcement. So I'm going to ask that you take your seat after you receive the Lord's blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Please be seated.